listening to the GD Podcast, an informal but insightful conversation about sports, pop culture, beer, and the like. Follow us on Twitter at the GD Podcast. Today, Mike and I are joined by special guest JJ Kowal to help us break down the NFL as we get ready to look into the 2014 season. We'll recap Penn State's opening win in Dublin, talk a little TV in the pop culture corner, and then Mike will bring things home in Mike's Beer Blast. Mike, JJ, how you guys doing?
Very good, Joe. Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, man. This is always a good...
For the 50th, is it really the 50th?
It's crazy.
50th installment?
Yeah.
Congratulations. You guys are now an icon.
We are. We got to get you on more, brother.
I'm honored to be here. I will start making concerted effort.
I'm honored. I'm glad that you're honored because I love doing this stuff.
Absolutely. I'm glad JJ can join us, especially after... You know, we're previewing football, so it's always good. I feel like this is the time of year we have the most amount of stuff to talk about, so it's always...
it's the best time of year.
Yeah, because the summertime, kind of, you get the dog days and such. We kind of try to fill the gap with baseball and such, but it's not the same as right now.
Absolutely. No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll start with the NFL as we get ready. Thursday, we're doing this on Monday, Labor Day, so Thursday is the opening game, Seahawks-Packers. We'll start with the Redskins, because I know just listening to the local radio, it seems like the biggest concern is RG3 getting used to being a pocket passer. And I was wondering, as you guys, as Redskins fans, how are you guys feeling about Griffin adapting and, you know, the offense and everything?
You know, I agree. He looked a little shaky, definitely on that Ravens game. And, you know... JJ and I have talked about this a million times. We're just used to be disappointed by the team.
Sure.
So I think this is, you know, for the first time in a while that we can have some excitement leading into the season. But will they perform? That's a huge question. And I just think, you know, the people put so much pressure on RG3, and I think he puts a lot of pressure on himself.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think they'll be an average team. They're in a division that's completely wide open this year. I don't think really anybody knows how any of the teams are really going to perform. So we'll see what happens. But I think RG3 is good enough that he'll be at least average. I think the question is, will he be better than average?
Yeah, I think 2 years ago they kind of got lucky with a couple games and made the playoffs, and they were... Their record was better, really, than they were. And then last year was kind of the opposite. They lost a couple close ones and just played terrible. So hopefully somewhere in the middle, hopefully back to 2 years ago. But it just seems like he's still slow and less accurate somehow. I mean, you'd think if he was focusing more on not running,
yeah,
he'd step up a little and make some more accurate throws, but... It doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah, and even in the preseason game, he was still making some, like, questionable runs. It's like, seriously, man? At this point in time, he's still not going to figure out how to slide. It's not that difficult.
Yeah.
You know, but our wide receiver core, gigantic upgrade from last year. So, you know, having Deshaun Jackson, a healthy Pierre Garçon, hopefully Santana Moss has been around for so long, he's just a veteran guy. And then they can't keep on saying enough about this Ryan Grant kid that they picked up. So I've heard people say he's going to be the next Jerry Rice, so we'll see what happens. And then in the running back side of things, they kept our boy Silas Red. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. Drop Royster, but they
dropped Royster. So they pick up another interesting Penn State running back, even though he ran from the sanctions once all that stuff threw down. So that made us a little bit bitter.
Yeah.
But it was surprising to see their other two running backs, the Thompson guy and the Seastrunk guy. They were kind of like change of pace backs, and they cut them both. So it's just like, when's the last time the Redskins had a really speedy back? I don't think ever. So I was kind of disappointed to see those guys go. But if RG3 can just throw, you know, remotely accurate, like, you know, just an average quarterback, I feel like our wide receivers will be able to do the rest. So, put a lot of weight on their shoulders this year.
Right, that's what's so concerning. They have such a good run game throughout, but they don't make anything happen with it. Normally, if you have a half-decent quarterback and a good run game, he's going to have a good year.
Yeah.
And just can't seem to put it together.
I mean, yeah, and our O-line's always been kind of weak and a question mark too. I mean, I'd have really good hopes for this team if we had like one of the better O-lines in the league.
Sure.
But since that's always been a question, that's made it just really difficult. And that's that second dimension of RG3 being able to run around helps out, but he really needs to be able to sit in the pocket a lot more this year and throw some accurate passes. And if he does that, they definitely can pump out some wins.
Yeah, I agree. And I also, you mentioned the whole sliding thing. Do you think that's odd when not just him, but just in general, some quarterbacks just have that difficulty sliding? It seems like it's not that tough of a concept to grasp, but maybe
right, we're not at all. We're watching the Penn State game.
Yes.
It was a 19-year-old sophomore quarterback, and he knows exactly when to slide. I mean, it should be instinct.
Yeah.
You know where everybody is on the field, and you know you're not going to come out good if you take them on, you know, just hit the dirt.
Hackenberg, like clockwork, ran 7 yards, saw a guy coming, and slid like a normal human being. And I instantly look at JJ, and I goes, oh, it's nice to see a quarterback actually know how to slide. It's like, this is a 19-year-old kid. He's moving around the pocket like a 20-year-old veteran and knows how to slide. It's like, if he can figure it out, come on, RG3.
Yeah. Kind of prove something, and I, for the life of me, don't know what that is. Like,
it's ridiculous.
It's not doing anything.
Yeah, I wonder if that goes back to just, like, you know, whether it's college or high school, where he's always the fastest guy on the field and never had to worry about it, and all of a sudden it kind of, it's like,
yeah.
I think that might play into it, too, when you...
Yeah, that could be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because, and I think also he's playing like he did, you know, in the playoff run 2 years ago, you know, where he was making plays and just playing reckless abandon. But that's a playoff run, you know, that's in the playoffs. That's not...
Yeah, how about you settle down and win a couple games first?
You don't even start doing that till like the eighth week of the regular season.
Yeah.
Definitely not preseason.
Get your team into playoff contention first.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, I agree. So, they, like you said, they have a winnable division this year, because I said all the other teams are kind of up in the air, especially Dallas and the Giants. So, what do you guys think? Do you think they'll be about a 500 team, a little bit over, a little bit under?
Yeah, I'm thinking, I'm hoping to get to 8-8.
Yeah.
That would be a good step.
I think that would be a good step in the right direction. I'm not expecting a playoff team by any means. But yeah, I think about a 500 team is what I expect.
Yeah. The defense definitely looked better.
Absolutely.
They can just figure out how to get the ball, spread the ball around. I think they'll be,
it could be
back up to 10 wins, but I won't give them that.
Yeah, right. But on the flip side, like I said earlier, the division seems kind of wide open. I mean, if the Eagles could be good, Cowboys are always at least there at the end. And then I think the Giants, that was something, I think their offensive line is like completely rebuilt too. And then Eli's coming off one of the worst years he's had ever, I think, in his career. So, honestly, anything could happen in the division. It's just weird to look at this division in the beginning of the seasons when there were perennial powerhouses, and now you look at the NFC East, and you're like, I don't really know who's going to win the thing.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. and it's funny, I was thinking how things kind of go full circle, because my beloved Rams season kind of ended a week or so ago when Bradford re-tore his ACL.
Yeah, tough
That's
break.
Crazy.
Yeah, no, and you know, then there was like, who are they going to make a trade? And one of the people they thought they might interested in was Kirk Cousins, actually. But I feel like the Skins wouldn't do that because they're just not sure what they're going to get out of Griffin.
Yeah, that seems like a Drew Brees trade there. So you get rid of Cousins and then you become the greatest quarterback.
So
I mean, I've talked to a lot of people that are Redskins fan. They're in the camp that Cousins should be starting and RG3 shouldn't.
Yeah.
So I think Cousins is that good and could easily fill in.
Yeah.
And then we got a good old Colt McCoy just picking up the reins too there at the end. So
no,
he had a pretty good game.
Yeah, I forgot.
Actually, in the preseason, like, he threw a couple pickles, but they really weren't his fault. But he seemed like he could manage a game too. So,
absolutely. So yeah, when I saw I think Cousins, people thought maybe Sanchez or Mike Vick, the Rams could trade for. But I don't want to see them end up in a situation like the Skins, where they, you know, are kind of held hostage and trade all these draft picks for, you know, a quarterback who may or may not be the guy.
Yeah,
that's my only concern, because
yeah.
I know that. Yeah. when a team is desperate, you know, teams can take advantage. I'm sure if the Skins offered up Cousins, they'd probably want, you know, first round, second round pick. And for me, I don't think the Rams were a playoff team with Bradford. So it, to me, it doesn't seem worth it to trade a bunch of picks to try to salvage possibly a 5 or 6 win season.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you think about what the Redskins would have if they had just picked Cousins, what like a third round pick, and that was just their pick. They would have had their first round pick. They would have had the next 2 years first round pick. I mean, that's too much to pay for a quarterback.
Yeah, I
think so too.
And so, especially Cousins might be better.
Yeah.
But who's the Rams? Who are they going with now?
Their backup was Sean Hill. So he. You know, I just say he's
right?
Yeah. I'm fine with him just because he's serviceable. And I looked at the Rams schedule and said, I think they're winning 5 games anyway. So why not? I just say roll the dice and just see what happens.
Yeah.
Like, I think if they were a playoff team and, you know, and then Bradford got hurt, I'd say, yeah, sure, make a trade, you know, for a more established quarterback. But if you're, you know, especially with the Niners and the Seahawks in their division, it's too much of a hill to climb.
There's no use in fighting that. Is it going to be a big quarterback class though? Because it feels like last year a lot of them came out, Bortles and Bridgewater, and
yeah, I have no
clue. Bunch this year. I don't know who's coming out.
Yeah, I felt like last year was like the really quarterback rich draft.
So that's kind of crummy timing. But and next year you could get Hackenberg, but. kind of in the no man's land for quarterback.
I don't think
he's coming out.
We need Hackenberg though. He's got drives to that national championship.
Yeah.
So I guess you don't have much to talk about the Rams then, other than it's just the punt of the season, huh?
Yeah. It's a really a shame because I know how hard Bradford worked to get back after he got hurt last year. And also that's why I always say I just hate the preseason. I know it's a necessary evil, but you spend the whole time holding your breath, hoping a star guy like that doesn't get hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yep. So, yeah, I'm just hoping that, I'm going to stick with the, you know, say, you know, 5-11. If they do better than that, great. But if not, it's just kind of, it's better just to go in with your expectations. Kind of like you mentioned with the Skins, if you have your expectations realistic, it makes it look for a more interesting season. And looking, I didn't realize the Rams actually played the Skins this year. Week 14. That's December 7th.
A little podcast bet on there. Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll both probably be horrible at that point, so we won't really care.
I think, yeah.
We'll be rooting for the other team, so we'll get a better draft.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have too high of hopes, but I'm glad that they're kind of standing pat on going with what they have and not making a crazy trade for a quarterback. And the only other thing is I know a lot of stuff was made of, them releasing Michael Sam over the weekend as well. I know that was kind of.
I saw that.
Because I wasn't sure. It was funny. It was on Saturday. The deadline was 4:00, and it was like, ooh. As it got close, I'm like, oh, maybe he's going to make the team. But I think around like 3:55, I saw that. They made the roster move. So.
Yeah. But how did he do in the preseason? I didn't catch him.
He did okay. He had a few sacks, but it's just one of those things where you have to take into consideration. He's playing against probably second and third string, you know, offenses by the time he got into the game.
Right.
So you can't take too much into stock into that. But I think he cleared waivers, so we'll see if another team picks him up. But it was just interesting to see, you know, guy, you know, you realize what a big story it became because he was a 7th round pick. And, like, there was a press conference with, you know, Jeff Fisher after he got cut, which usually when a 7th rounder gets cut, there's no, you know, so you realize.
You just get your name on the list. That's about it.
Exactly. So that was, so I made a lot of headlines. So, but we shall see. I'm just win or lose, I'm always looking forward to Sundays, though. So I am looking forward to that. Right. And then I guess just, and overall with the league, we kind of talked about, you know, the NFC East. I thought we could just run through and see who you guys like in each division. I guess we could start with NFC East. For me, I feel like the Eagles right now have the least amount of question marks.
Yeah, and they got that high-powered offense, so they got the best running back in the league. Mm-hmm. I mean, heck, who knows? Their QB, is pretty darn good. He had an amazing season last year, stat-wise. It was like video game-type stats.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Anything could happen. I mean, I'm going to pick the Redskins just because anything yeah, could happen.
Sure, why not?
And of course, I'm confident right now, and I want them.
Hey, man, they're undefeated right
now.
Yes,
they're undefeated right now, exactly. And I believe in RG3. Everyone's hating on them, and it's understandable, but I'm going to go with the Redskins. They're going to win the whole damn thing.
I like it. I like the confidence.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that. I hate quarterback conjure. I hate when you have two guys. I'd almost rather have, like, one clear guy like the Ravens or the Rams. Just have your one clear guy, and if he goes down, your season's over.
Yeah.
But, you know, it really should be a good thing, right? I mean, you got two good quarterbacks up there that could win games. But I still got to go with the Eagles. I think they're the most complete team in the East.
Yeah, mine is not an educated guess. Mine's going to appear off.
Yeah. But yeah, 2 years ago, no one would have thought the Skins would have won the division either, right? So I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So you never can tell. And then I guess the NFC North, you know, it's a pretty competitive division. But I like Aaron Rodgers a lot. I just feel Green Bay wins that division again, even though Chicago's tough too. But I just like, you know, I like Rodgers. I think they're the team to beat there.
Yeah, I agree. Packers. Eddie Lacy and Rodgers, I mean, they're what the Redskins should be in terms of offense. And you know, yeah, they play pretty good enough defense to hang with the NFC North.
Yeah, I'll pile on to that. I agree the Packers are the best team in that division, even though it is kind of competitive. So, but I don't think there's much argument or much to talk about there. Aaron Rodgers is just really good. They got a good offense, and they got a solid defense. So they're a really well-rounded team. They always play amazing at home. So you got to give them credit.
Absolutely. And then the South, last year the Falcons only won 4 games. I would think they'd bounce back from that. Although they might have the Hard Knocks curse on them, since they're the Hard Knocks team this summer on HBO, so we'll see if that detracts from. I know sometimes teams don't really fare well after being on that show, but yeah, I think it's either going to be them or the Saints, and I'll give the edge to the Saints in that division.
Yeah, it's just amazing to see how their team turned around with a coaching change. It was incredible how well they played last year and just the year before. What did they win? I don't even know how many games they won. Not a lot, though.
Yeah, they really had a tough go without Peyton there. You don't really think about how important a head coach is until you have a season like that.
Yeah. So, but you know, the Falcons got a good quarterback, great receivers. Saints do too. So, I think I'm with you. They'll just kind of duel it out to the end. But I think the way Saints played last year, I'll give them the nod too.
Wait, I'm just going with the Panthers.
All right. All right.
The repeat.
And the reason.
Even though that division never repeats. Because that is probably the division the division I know the least about. So,
let's go with the Panthers. All right, let's roll with that. I like that prediction.
Okay,
I know. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, you know, got Cam, and I know I think he's got like a hairline fracture in his rib or something like that, but it sounds like he's going to be ready for Sunday. So,
they'll put a flak jacket on them, they'll be all right.
Exactly. And then which is funny to think that some consider this to be the best division of football now, the NFC West.
Absolutely.
Which was a couple years ago, they had a 7-win team win the division. So it's just crazy to think. But I like Seattle. I feel like, I know the Niners are just kind of a mess right now, on and off the field. And I like the way Seattle's just, I think, run well, and Russell Wilson solid in the QB spot. I just think that, especially with the Rams in their predicament now, and Arizona's, you know, they had a decent season, but I don't think they're ready to make the leap either. So I think this year it's Seattle's division to lose.
I think I'm going to go with the Rams, and Sean Hill's going to be that.
Yes.
Yes. No, I think the Rams will be competing for maybe one of the worst records in football. I'm sorry, Joey.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
But it could be our guys fighting with you. So. Yeah. I agree. I think the Seahawks, as much as I hate Pete Carroll, he seems like he's a really great coach, and he works really well with the players. It's interesting to see like a younger head coach like that still – I feel like he's still on the sidelines. Is almost like he's coaching college football.
Just, oh, yeah.
Like, it's the guys amped up.
Yeah.
And to be in, like, the NFL when it's just much more professional for him to be able to, like, use that energy. And it's obviously helping his team out. The defense is fantastic. Russell Wilson's coming to his own. So, I mean, I think they're probably the strongest team in the NFL. And I think a lot of the credit goes to Pete Carroll. And it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'm tempted to take the Cardinals here. The Niners just haven't looked like last year.
No, not at all.
But the Seahawks are too strong. I mean, yeah. They're just – Russell, it's his third year. He's really going to be, you know, up to full performance.
And they're another team that plays ridiculous at home.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they draft well, and, they're in a good spot.
Yeah.
I think they're set up to win, and I don't know if they'll repeat the Super Bowl chance, but I think they'll definitely win that division this year.
Yeah.
And then
it's bizarre to have the Seahawks as the Super Bowl champs.
Like, is it? Yes.
Yeah. Because I remember the '80s and stuff. They were just like fodder for
horrible
good teams. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were in the AFC. Like,
that's right. Yeah.
It's always, I think about it, like back in the day when I was watching football with my dad, how bad the New England Patriots were.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I mean, they were horrible. I remember the Mud Bowl, like Redskins played them. I don't know when that was, probably in the late '80s. And they were just so bad, and they've been so good for so long now.
And then speaking of the AFC, I was just going to just run through these, and I'll see if you guys – I'm looking at the AFC right now, and I see, I'm thinking New England, the Ravens, the Colts, and the Broncos. I know if you had a case for any team other than those four. I know the North could be either, you know, three out of the 14, I think, of a shot, but I felt like the other three divisions have a pretty well set.
Yeah, I think the North will come down between the Bengals and the Ravens.
Yeah.
The Bengals got a solid defense. Dalton's serviceable. You never know. He could have a breakout year. I mean, hell, man, he helped me out in fantasy the last three or four games of last year. He was putting up. It was crazy. He'd have like a 40-point game and then a couple 15-point games and then another 40-point game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the Bengals, I think the Ravens are going to be good, although their running game looks a little dicey. I don't know what Ray Rice's deal is. But they got a healthy Pitta back, and it just, like, no matter who's on the Ravens roster, they're one of those teams that they just seem to figure out how to win. And it's really frustrating because I live in the city and I really would like to be a fan of their team. I was born and raised of the horrible city of D.C., so I've been forced to rave for a shit team for the last 20 years of my life.
Come over to the dark side. I love it.
JJ already converted that fast.
Oh, jeez.
When I go over to his house and he has a Ravens shirt on, it kills me. It kills me.
Hey, man, you gotta play the field, man. When they're doing good, you root for it. You just soak in the goodness of it.
All right, so I'm gonna root for Ohio State this year.
That's not good at all.
And I agree, the Patriots are good.
Yeah, that's an obvious one.
I think that's an obvious lock. And
same with the Colts.
I think the Colts are going to be awesome. I'm predicting Luck breakout year this year. He turns from a good QB into an elite QB this year. And, I think obviously the Broncos, the Peyton Manning at the helm, you can't do anything but give them a chance.
Yeah.
Welker
down.
I'd like to see. I think they'll find a guy to fill that role easily.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think they already have a guy. I forget his name. Somebody's filling that type of Welker role already. But yeah, I think the debate here is probably around the AFC North.
Yes.
But like I said again, the Ravens seems until they find a way to start losing a majority of their games, I'll believe in them.
Okay. And then before we move on to the over-unders, one last AFC question for you guys. How do you think your guy O'Brien will fare it as NFL head coach with Houston there?
Oh, yeah, with Houston.
I think he'll be a really good NFL head coach. I think that's what he I think that was his calling. I mean, he had that stopgap at Penn State, but you could tell, like, just the way he managed things that he really would probably be better for the NFL because he hated to deal with the alumni BS.
That's right.
And
yeah,
all the extra baggage that comes with managing a college football team. It was really about the nuts and bolts and, you know, just managing the game plan and the X's and O's type guy. And I think he could get the players to believe in him. And, you know, as much as I was bitter that he left at first, I think he's a good guy and will do well. And I'm actually glad he left because I think we got the best possible scenario out of it with Franklin.
Yeah, and it looks good, you know, that we progressed the coach's career and we got him into where he wanted to be and everybody's happy, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I have no faults with him. I hope he does really well.
Yeah, I wish him the best. I hope he has an awesome season. And, you know, that could be a surprise. That could be one of the surprises of the year is how he manages the team. Because like we said before, you know, a head coach really can make a difference in a season.
Yep. Yeah, it's one of the – I think it's probably the – football is probably the one sport where the coach really makes a huge difference as far as how the team does on the field.
Yeah, because it's so huge to get, like, if you've got a broken locker room, you need everybody on the same page, believing in the same thing and in each other. And if you don't have that, man, no matter how good your players are, you're still going to have a crap product on the field.
Yeah, because football's ultimate team sport, so you need everyone pulling in the same direction.
Absolutely.
Yes, I agree 100%. And I thought for the for our gambler listeners, we'd offer them a few over-under for suggestions for this season. I know for mine, I like Chicago a lot over 8.5. I'm gonna be aggressive and say Seattle over 11, and
that's aggressive.
Yeah, and Cleveland under 6.5.
Cleveland under 6.5.
Yeah.
There's high hopes for that team, man. They actually have a pretty solid defense, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, their offense is questionable. I'm gonna get aggressive and go Baltimore over 8.5.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Redskins over 7.5.
Ooh, I like that. That's.
I have to pick the Redskins.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna go and call Flyer, and I'm gonna go San Fran under 10.5.
Ooh, all right.
I think they underperform. Like you said, they're in a little disarray over there.
Yes.
They got a lot going on, and I think Seattle just pulls away and hammers people.
Yeah, I like that call. I like San Fran. Who was the Colts are at, 9.5? Take that. I'd take the over on that one.
Over on the Colts?
I think they could get to 11 wins again. Right. I'll take over on Minnesota. I was tempted to pick them in the division to go from last to first. They're probably the team I see to go from last to first.
I like that.
Yeah, so I'll go over with them.
And what's your third?
And I don't want to touch the Redskins. I'll go Eagles over 9.
Ooh. Wow. All right.
Nice.
So mark our words. We'll have, I think we should bet a round of drinks on that one.
Yeah.
Whoever comes out with the most correct predictions to getting a round of drinks bought their way.
I'll do that.
Nicely. And the last NFL point I wanted to touch on was just, I know a lot of people like survivor pools. Are you guys doing the Mets one again this year?
Yeah, I got to send in my money. I got to send that in like tomorrow. But absolutely, I love that. That survivor pool is the greatest.
Oh, yeah. It's so much fun.
Do you want to look at the board for this week and pick a couple?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Predictions.
I was looking at that. I think at first glance, if I did like a love, I'd say I love the Eagles at home over Jacksonville. It'd probably be my first
Eagles at home over Jacksonville.
Yeah. And I like Pittsburgh over Cleveland. Pittsburgh's at home as well.
Where is it at? And we're looking at the schedule right now. Sports Illustrated is loading clunky. Come on. Come on. There we go.
Packers Seahawks.
Packers Seahawks, you don't want to touch that.
Yeah, that's too, I think that's too, that'll be too tight of a game, I agree. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Oh, here we go.
What else have we got on it?
Giants, Lions, don't want to touch that. Although I probably lean towards the Lions.
Yeah. Me too, yeah.
Chargers, Cardinals, that's a toss-up to me. Colts, Broncos, nope.
Nope, yeah.
Redskins, Texans, nope.
Nope.
Titans, Chiefs, pick the Chiefs on that one.
Yeah, they're tough at home. They're tough. I mean,
that's a solid pick.
Yeah.
Patriots, Dolphins, I don't know. You can pick the Patriots on that one. There's a lot of tough matchups. Falcons, Saints, Bengals, Ravens.
Yeah.
I think the Eagles, Jags is a good pick too. Yeah. So, I probably, out of all of them that I'm looking at right now, that's probably either that or I like the Chiefs, Titans still.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I really like that pick. Bears, Bills.
Yeah.
You never know. Bills like randomly will pull a big upset though.
They do. Yep.
You know, every now and then. So, and then, of course, your boys versus the Vikings, you have no clue what's going to happen there.
That's a toss-up if I've ever seen one. That's
a total toss-up. And I guess, you know, you could lean towards San Fran over the Cowboys, but I feel like that's kind of a toss-up, too. So, because the Cowboys are always competitive. DeMarco Murray, a healthy running DeMarco Murray helps out a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they could beat anybody.
Yeah, so they can beat anybody at any given time. See, I think the Eagles over the Jags and the Chiefs over the Titans are probably your two safest bets for this week.
Yeah, it should be a lot of good games on Sunday then when you look at
it. Yeah, they're fantastic games. I would love to sit down and watch all of them. I don't think I'm gonna have that opportunity.
Yeah. Oh man, so yeah, it should be a great week one. And then we were talking off air. Had a rare occurrence. We got to watch some football at 8:30 in the morning on Saturday, which is pretty sweet. Watching Penn State, and I guess first off, for you guys as fans of the team, how was it? Just the experience of, you know, watching a team in the morning, and just the whole kind of circumstance around everything.
Oh, man, it was great from my perspective. You wake up an hour later, you're watching football.
Yeah,
yeah, it was fantastic. And
like I said, told you it would have been different if it had gone the other way.
Sure.
Since it was good, man, had the whole slate of games, we're feeling good.
Well, JJ's being humble. First of all, he set up a breakfast tailgate at his place, and there was a cooking competition between him and his wife.
Oh, wow.
What was the stuff that she made?
Strata.
They call it Strata. It has, like,
egg casserole
with bread and cream and cheese and sausage, and then JJ made make-your-own breakfast burritos.
Oh.
He killed it. Breakfast burritos, 110% nice. Better than the Strata.
Sausage.
Oh, my gosh.
Salsa, sriracha.
Sauteed up some mushrooms and onions. So I was already in a good state of mind before the game even started. And I already had a couple PBRs down, so I was ready to go. And then kickoff happened. And I don't know, man. It was awesome. I thought they looked really good in the beginning. And then inevitably, our secondary folded a little bit. I don't know what happened. Actually, they put in their other quarterback in the second half, and that guy had a freaking cannon as an arm.
I was going to ask you guys about that.
I don't know why the head coach picked the other quarterback to start, because that was obviously the wrong decision.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys about that. I was wondering why he didn't start the game. Cause it seemed like...
Yeah, if the second QB started the game, I think we easily could have lost that game.
Yeah, and he was the backup to Bortles last year. But
yeah.
For some reason, he stayed the backup.
So I just, we were watching the replay, and in the beginning, he asked, and the announcer asked, like, why did you pick the QB? And he said he was a better game manager and just, like, had a little better grasp of the offense.
Okay.
Obviously, athletic ability is better than either of those, because that guy was just throwing bullets into traffic, and those guys were still catching the ball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but overall, I think it was a positive viewing experience. Hackenberg, of course, was amazing. Receivers were unbelievable. Broke, was a rookie record, right? Hamilton?
For Hamilton, probably.
I think it's an all-time Penn State rookie record. Hamilton, 165 yards, first game, redshirt freshman. He was unbelievable.
It definitely was a record for Hackenberg.
Yeah.
450 yards. I mean, he's picking up right where he left off.
Yeah, Hamilton's shined the entire time, and then Gino poured it on there at the end. I think he really got his confidence once he, I don't know if you saw the bomb where he fumbled the ball and then caught it at the end.
Yeah.
Once that happened, it seemed like he turned a new leaf and just dominated the rest of the game.
Yeah, I love how ESPN kept bringing up, you know, who's going to replace Allen Robinson. He was like 50% of our offense last year, and we had two receivers go over 150 yards. It's like, they answered that question. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I like it better this year, too, because kind of last year it was Allen Robinson or nothing. Now we have, it seems like, you know, if Geno's having a good day, and he gets double covered, Hamilton will be able to pick it up and vice versa. You know, if Hamilton's getting double covered, Geno will be able to do the job. Yeah.
And you still got the tight ends.
Yeah.
As a wild card.
I think it's been a while. I feel like the last time I remember, like, having two really, really good wide receivers, it's always been, like, kind of one guy shining.
Sure.
So I really like that setup. And then on the defensive end, like, they shut it down there in the beginning. Had those goal line stops. Looks like Zettel is the real deal. Mm-hmm. He had a solid game from beginning to end. But then once again, Trevor Williams, I mean,
they were played terrible.
And yeah. So, but he had that shoestring saving tackle that would have been a touchdown on the kickoff return.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, it's the secondary it sucks. And then Amos had like a handful of good plays in the beginning. And then I remember looking at JJ, 3/4 of the way through the game, going like, what happened to Amos? Is he even playing anymore? He just kind of went invisible.
Yeah,
so.
They seemed to be stopping everything in the first set. Maybe it was the quarterback, I don't know. But it was, they were stopping everything, and then they just kind of, you know, with the Emerald, they didn't play too bad. Their defense, they got pressure, and I think they just got to get somebody else to step up in that other cornerback spot, and they'll be okay.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you can't not bring up the fact that a couple years ago, Ficken misses 4 field goals in a row for us to lose, 16-14 in UVA?
Yeah.
And then has all the pressure on the world on his shoulders, and he delivers the game-winning field goal. So that was really, really nice to see.
And overall went 4-for-4.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 2 years ago, he started terribly and ended real well with a string of field goals.
Yep.
Last year, he started well, kind of had a weird middle, so it's good to see him start off good, and now he's a senior, so
yeah, and he's been voted a captain too, I think. He's looked upon as a leader, banging in field goals. That's totally good for us.
That was the cockiest I've ever seen a kicker at the end of that game. In the interview, I thought he was gonna just like start making out with the sideline reporter if he just had all this confidence, like,
yeah,
but. Yeah, that's a good. It couldn't have gone better. I mean, really, because it's just like it was a tight game, so they really got to work the whole game. But you know, they came out on the top. So
yeah, and then I wanted to throw out a shout out. I think Jordan Lucas, and we had talked about this during the game, that he actually had a really, really good game.
Oh yeah, locking down the one.
So that was the one guy on the secondary that like really looked the part, and if we could replicate him, I mean, our defense would be pretty damn sick. And surprising, like, the linebackers, I thought they played pretty good, too. Bell looks like he's legit. Wartman can play. Hull did his duty. He had, I think, probably 9, 10, 11 tackles.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, he played like we expected him to play. Yeah. Jesse James had a good game before. It looked like his shoulder was banged up, and we were talking about that. I thought he looked hurt, but they kept on playing him. I'm not sure why they did that. But overall, I mean, they have potential to, you know, I think win 7 games at least.
Oh, yeah.
But it's one of those things that it's I think we're the second youngest team in the country. Yeah, we have absurd amount of freshmen and sophomores. So if one of our big not named guys goes down, I mean, it's a completely different season.
Yeah, especially at linebacker. The top three are solid, but if one of those goes down, we got nobody.
Yeah, it's completely over.
Yeah, but I think all the mistakes they made were definitely young team mistakes. But, you know, they were young last year, too. Yeah. I mean, they had a lot of young guys last year, and they improved steadily. They're starting off much better this year in a much better place, and I think if they can improve the schedule, all the really good teams are kind of stacked at the end.
I mean, you can see a difference in the O-line from beginning to end. I thought they did, surprisingly, for being young and not really working together, did an excellent job protecting Hackenberg.
Yeah, I agree.
Obviously, the run game was not working out, but to their credit, UCF is a really good defense, so I think they were returning like nine of their starters, and they were legitimate last year. So, I mean, we'll see when they hit kind of like a mediocre defense or a defense that isn't that great, and we can see if they can get the run game established. I mean, it's Saints, Bill Belton got a lot of the touches, and you would like to see him break out a little bit. He still jukes a little bit too much out in open space, and you'd like to see him break a little more tackles when he has his opportunities. Yeah. But, I mean, when your quarterback throws for 450 yards and you got two receivers catching over 300 yards, really
go with what works, man. You go with what, and that's what they did. And I think Belton, it was a little better this year because he didn't juke as much. You're right. That was his con the whole last 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
And this year he's really finding the first down each time, and I think he's just ready to kind of take over. I mean, he had some tough runs, but yeah, they definitely need to. But this could be the third best defense they play all year. But Michigan State and Ohio State.
Absolutely.
Defense, so they could get better real quick. But
yeah, and I think that's another good point that JJ just brought up too. It was actually refreshing to see a coaching staff go with what was working.
Yes.
Now, a lot of times in Penn State history, they have a game plan, and if it's not working, they stick to a game plan.
Yeah.
To have an adaptable coaching staff is pretty much a fresh breath, breath of fresh air.
Yeah, and even last year when they played Indiana, Bill O'Brien, Indiana was like the last place rush defense in the league, and they threw it like 70% of the time. It's like, what?
Yeah. and you could
wear these guys down easily. And absolutely. He's just kept passing.
And I say if Franklin's in that same position, he runs the ball down their throat.
Yeah.
You could tell he kept on passing the ball because that was working. Obviously, the run game wasn't.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to see that. Questionable calls, direct snap, the Ziwanak. I don't know what the hell that was about. Put him in the Wildcat formation on the third and five or six when they hadn't even been running the ball right.
And had he ever been in the Wildcat? And then also Belton was a high school quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, so if you put Belton back there, not only is he shiftier, but he could bring the threat of a pass.
Yeah.
Now let's go with the fullback.
And I read a review of the play, and apparently when Hackenberg went to the wideout position, he was like kind of throwing his hands up in the air and like giving away the play, and the quarterback just basically left him out wide and went straight to Ziwanak and just stuffed him. But still, I just think that's just a bad play call to begin with.
I did not
like
to see him.
And then I don't know if it was that drive, but they had another end zone attempt where they just loaded all the wide receivers in like a 5 yard gap all the way on the right side of the end zone. Or if they would have spread the field out, they would add a lot more options.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Franklin admitted it, you know, just hiccups, minor coaching things. You know, you can't have Hackenberg had a great game, but he also threw some horrible pickles, so it wasn't like his pickles were like, you know, mistakes or bounced off a helmet. They were just bad throws, and we said it in the beginning too, like he was just kind of off the mark, a little underthrowing. Throws didn't seem so strong.
Yeah, it was funny because it shows our expectations on Hackenberg this year. So I'm like, we're both kind of like, man, he looks really off. And then they bring up the stats, and he's 8 for 11 with like 3 yards. It's like he's only missed 3 passes. It feels like, but he's just a little behind, like Mike said. And I think that's a good problem to have in the Bears.
Absolutely,
he'll get on better track with his receivers and start putting those out in front of him. And I mean, they really could have had a lot more touchdowns. Geno's could have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
Deshaun tripped over his feet.
Absolutely.
He could have had
him. Yeah, so, I mean, at the half, like always, I felt like it should have been 21-3.
Sure.
But they just had some bad breaks. But like we said before, we'll give Hackenberg credit. Dude slides and moves around like a veteran QB. Like, he's got a good head on his shoulder. Stands tall in the pocket. I think he's got that extra sense of, like, when somebody's coming from the side, he can just sense it. And a lot of times he would just take a couple steps out of the way. Whereas, you know, if Morelli was in the same position, it would have been a sack in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or any other average quarterback doesn't have that sixth sense like he does. So,
I think there's any chance he stays for 3 more years?
No chance.
I just don't see it.
I think, I don't know, unless he was like really wedded to the program,
mm-hmm.
and he believes his final year that they can win a national championship.
It could be because
I think Franklin's one of those guys that like he can make you believe.
Yeah.
That you need to stay and that you're part of something bigger. And
yeah. Didn't Peyton do that? Stay for a senior year to try and get the...
I think he did.
That's the only scenario I can see. Is he really thinks they got a shot. And he's like,
yeah, which I totally think they could. I mean, they got some big pieces in place and there are people that are really good. I think the coaching staff, that was the huge question too, to just see how the coaching staff acted. And like we said, they had some road, the little bumps in the road, but I think they're going to be good.
Do you think they'll be 5-0 before they hit the Michigan game?
I thought when you talked about the slow game, I thought this game was the biggest toss up.
Yes.
So what do they got? Akron. Akron's actually a dark horse MAC team.
Yeah, they're not actually that bad, and I think a lot of people are overlooking them.
Yeah.
That's mostly when Rutgers better be a winner.
We better be. If we don't beat Rutgers.
From New Jersey. And then, UMass? And then
UMass should be...
that's an easy win.
UMass should be an easy win.
So I think this was the toughest game to get there. So as long as we don't have any goofball games, which is always a big if with a young team, but... I think we'll get there, and then that'll be real interesting because that was the same situation as last year, only big Michigan being undefeated coming to our house.
Uh-huh.
Now, we'd be undefeated going to their house.
Oh, we'll see what happens. I think Ohio State completely destroys us again like they did last year.
Really?
Destroys us. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm forgetting. Braxton's down.
Yeah.
It's a whole different ballgame.
Navy hung in there, the half?
Yep.
And then ended up losing. Yeah. Well, with Braxton down, never mind. Heck, every game's winnable. I suggested that they would go to the national championship and Hackenberg would win the Heisman.
Like I called it on Saturday. Old man lifted. Hackenberg. I called Hackenberg Heisman. You called
winning the national championship.
National championship win. I mean, you can tell what kind of mood we're in on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I'm still in that mood until they just get completely destroyed. Hell, before we played Ohio State last year, I told you I thought they were going to beat them.
Yeah.
And that was
one of the most
embarrassing games I remember in history. And when Dave wants to leave at halftime, you know there's some serious problems going on.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Dave, did you guys get to talk to him since the game? How did he like it over there and everything? Have you guys heard from him yet?
I saw all his pictures of the tour of Europe. I'm just glad they played it and it didn't get moved back to the U.S.
Yeah, that's right.
It would have erupted more than a volcano.
That would have been unbelievable.
I was just praying for it to go off without a hitch. But he had a good time, and that was another good thing about that. It was the only game on, and it was a big. You know, game, BCS bowl champs coming up last year, and they pulled off a win in Ireland on the only game on. That was just perfect. Couldn't have written that better.
And team and the fans traveled well. A lot of Penn State fans, it seemed like there. So, I definitely set my alarm. I got myself up and said, not every day get to wake up and watch football. So that was awesome. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Northwestern is the team that we missed before Michigan.
That's
a tough one, too.
It's always close, but we always seem to figure them out. So.
Going undefeated.
To Michigan. That's their tough test. Their first real scary game.
That's right, Michigan. I see, Michigan and Ohio State back to back weeks, it looks like. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like they just lost, though. They lost to Cal.
Yeah.
But Cal's an
RG. Yeah, and Northwestern can always. Yeah. Doesn't matter who they are.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. So, but yeah, they easily could be undefeated going into the Michigan game, and that would be really exciting.
That would be, yeah. So yeah, but yeah. So I was looking at their schedules. I think 7-8 wins is not out of the question for them this year.
Agreed. I mean, they have the talent. It's really the question is, will they stay healthy?
Yes, because like you mentioned, there's that depth issue there. Cool beans. All right. Well, well, that's good. This has been a very good football day for us. So, a couple more things. We'll go quick pop culture corner. The main thing I wanted to talk about, because I know, JD, I don't know if you watched True Detective as well this past season.
Yep.
Okay.
I caught up with that.
Yeah. So we had, you know, Bryan Cranston won the Best Actor Emmy over McConaughey. And I know you guys both are big Breaking Bad fans as well. I was just wondering, their performances, do you feel they got it right, or do you think McConaughey should have won the Emmy there for that?
I'm a True Detective fan. I think that was one of the best shows, next to Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
It might be the best show ever, just because it was a season long, and they did it all within the season, how they wrote it.
Yeah.
Opposed to Breaking Bad, spanned 5 seasons. But hadn't Cranston already won a ton of awards for Breaking Bad? It's like, how are you not... Because it's a one-time deal with True Detective. How are you not going to give that dude an award? Like, he never has a chance to win an Emmy again for that role. And to not give him that, I think, is absolutely absurd.
Absolutely the right call, Joe. Bryan Cranston, that is the role of a lifetime. And he made that series. I think they gave it to him because the series was over. Yeah. So. I think that kind of counterbalanced the one season thing. So I'll give you that, and I will give McConaughey the lean. He carried it more. Like, I don't think Woody was as good as Aaron Paul was in the thing, and just more characters in Breaking Bad overall.
Yeah,
but still, Cranston held it down, I thought. So it was close, and that just goes to show you how good those two shows were.
How good TV is now.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Overall, it's good.
Yeah.
But I liked.
Yeah, I heard that criticism too. That's like that we're in kind of like a golden era for TV and television, because there's just so many different dynamic shows out there, and a lot of them are good. But it seemed like this past Emmys, they went with all the safe bets.
Yeah, there wasn't too many shockers, I didn't think. A lot of the same old comedy. You know, Modern Family won again. Mm-hmm. Jim Parsons won for Best Comedic Actor again. Yeah, there wasn't too many upsets. Didn't seem like this year.
Yeah,
like what House of Cards and Orange is the New Black blanked pretty much. I mean,
yeah,
it was kind of odd.
Very odd.
And the one thing I'll say about, because I thought it was a tough call, because you had Breaking Bad, which was his last season, and True Detective, this was the only time they had a chance. So it was kind of like, it was a tough pick there, because either way, this is what both their last shot at it. But the one thing I'll say is with True Detective, I thought they did themselves a disservice. They should have put themselves in the miniseries category, as opposed to the drama. You know what I mean?
They can pick that. Like what? I was wondering.
Yeah,
you
can pick different characters. So, which is the Orange is the New Black was like considered a comedy, right, or something like that?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Where it was more kind of drama.
Yeah, I think that
show. Whatever. They might have done themselves a disservice. They still made the wrong decision.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad all the way, man. That last season was good. I mean, the last season, if they had just gone out, you know, kind of like downhill, but it was still going up. So,
except for him driving his car into the drug compound with a Gatling gun in the trunk, and they don't check the trunk, and he just decides to light the entire camp up.
We don't talk about that.
I'm sure that makes a lot of sense.
They check like under the hood.
Yeah. Trunk. Like, we're gonna check every part of the car, but don't worry about the trunk. I'm sorry, don't have ammunition and that gigantic gun in there.
We'll take your word for it on the trunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right play the show perfectly until that scene.
That, which was the key scene, you know.
He just ruined it.
Yeah. They shouldn't have searched everything else so much, you know.
I think the best scene of that season, and it would have really ended for me, is when he called his wife and he was crying. He was just being a complete a-hole. But he knew he had just gone too far and he had no other choice but to be that guy.
Yeah.
And that was fantastic scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got super pissed off when he got through the security with a gun in his trunk and they decided to check under the hood, but not his trunk.
Are there any shows that you guys are excited about coming back? I mean, I don't know if you guys have it. It's tough when you lose a show like Breaking Bad. I know there's any other shows in your arsenal yet you're looking forward to coming back this fall.
I forget when House of Cards. I don't think it starts this fall, but I really kind of want to see that. I think it'll be like the last season that it's any good, and obviously nowhere else he can really go.
Yeah.
But I look forward to that one. I also got to catch up on Orange is the New Black. I hear everybody says it's amazing, and I haven't caught it.
Yeah, I haven't. I haven't watched the full first season of Orange is the New Black either. Nothing really. I've been struggling through The Leftovers.
That's okay.
That's been really rough. But I feel like I'm dedicated to that now. But no, nothing really on the horizon I'm getting super excited about. How about you?
Nothing super excited. I'm looking forward to Boardwalk Empire comes back for its last season this year.
There you go.
Yeah. That's,
nailed it.
Looking forward to that. And then, I'm interested to see if, Homeland can kind of correct itself.
Yeah, that was bizarre the last couple.
Yeah.
Like, the last season was just weird. And, that'll be interesting to see if they can correct itself, too.
Because, now that, you know, Brody's gone, I feel like the show can kind of do like almost like a reboot and see what they can do with just a whole new premise.
Yeah, I'm just sick of seeing Clara Danes' pouty face and quivering lip.
Yeah, they just empower her a little bit. You know, she's supposed to be this, you know,
yeah,
you know, capable, you know, agent and everything like that. Let's just see her be kind of, you know, be tough as opposed to, yeah, you know, the crybaby face all the time. I agree.
I completely, yeah. It's getting a little annoying.
Yeah. And then as far as anything new coming out, I guess the superhero geek in me is looking forward to that that Gotham show, the Batman prequel.
That looks really interesting.
So I'll be tuning in for that.
You're a big superhero guy, so you love that, right?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm curious to see how that works out because when they did Smallville, that was a Superman prequel, and like, you know, Clark Kent had like his superpower, so he could still kind of be like Superman. Whereas this show, you know, Bruce Wayne's like 13, so I'm curious how they make it interesting with him not being anywhere close to being Batman. So I'm wondering how they're going to make this, you know, an interesting show.
Yeah, but it'll be cool being a TV show because, you know, the cool thing about Batman is all the villains, you know, and you only get one, maybe two, a movie.
Exactly, yep.
And so now I have a show, I'll get through a lot more and kind of get the backstory on that, and that'll be my favorite.
Yeah, so that's a good point too. We get to see all of them, how they all kind of got their starts. It's like, you know, even the villains are kind of just starting out as well, I think, in this.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we got some good stuff coming up with that. And then lastly, we are, like I said, this is Labor Day, September 1, so summer's kind of unofficially ending. So I wanted to see, Mike, if you had any beer suggestions as we hit the quote-unquote the fall season, plus with, you know, football in full swing, you know, what people should crack open as they get ready for the games this coming weekend.
Absolutely. I love beer. And all the pumpkin beers are out in the middle of August now. It's ridiculous how early the pumpkin beers come out. So my go-to pumpkin beers are Schlafly. They're from St. Louis. I still think they have the best pumpkin beer out there. Southern Tier from New York, they have a beer called Pump King. It's really, it's hoppier than most. Got a really good spice. But they also make a sister beer called Warlock. And it's basically pumpkin, but brewed with darker malts. So it's a dark pumpkin beer. And that is actually, I think, better than Pump King. So all your pumpkin beers will be out. Shipyard has a pretty decent one. A lot of people like Saranac, but I'm not a huge fan of theirs. But Pumpkin and Schlafly's pumpkin beer are definitely by far the best. The Schlafly one is really tough to find because when people get it in, it goes right away. But we're going to try to brew in the next couple weekends. We brewed a sour hibiscus beer.
Ooh.
so it built up this, basically you get a vial of like half Brettanomyces and half yeast. And Brettanomyces is kind of a bacteria. And it, when it eats stuff, it turns this like funky sour taste. But it built this huge yeast cake and you can reuse yeast. A lot of most brewers do reuse yeast. Because it's living and it'll keep on populating and eating sugar. So we're going to use that yeast cake and brew a pumpkin sour beer on top of it. So that should be pretty interesting, and we'll see how that turns out. Brother-in-law Kendall has now got like a 2 to 3 keg system that should be ready. So we won't have to wait those extra couple weeks for the beer to carbonate in the bottle, so we can go straight to keg, so I can get beer reviews up even faster. And then they're actually up in Vermont and just got me a belated birthday present. Hill Farmstead is one of the hottest breweries in the country right now, and I got a 22 ounce of Civil Disobedience, which is their barrel age series at Hill Farmstead. It's the number 10. So when I get that back and we sample that, I'll definitely make sure to give you guys a review of that. I'm pretty excited about it. Also got some Heady Topper coming back from the Alchemist, which is another one of probably the hottest beer in the world right now. If you can brew a double IPA and make it taste like candy and not really be harsh on the hops, you're instantly going to have one of the most popular beers in the country.
It's a good combo.
That's what they did. And, they went up and picked up some cans of that, too. So, yeah, it's a great time to be drinking beer, especially the beginning of football season. I'm never going to give you a lighter Bud Light option, so I would go for the pumpkin beers right now. They're tons of fun to drink. There's a million out there, pretty much. You know, every brewery out there now makes a version of a pumpkin beer. A lot of them aren't great, but the 2 to 3 I recommended are by far at the top of the spectrum, and I highly recommend getting any of them if you see them on your local craft brew shelf. And don't forget to visit BigOrcaBrewing.com for all your latest beer reviews and fun news.
Absolutely.
Nice plug, man.
Yeah, now you got it.
Walter White, bigger Walter White fan, man. All the chemistry and
because True Detective was one of the most mind-blowing shows I ever watched.
It was good.
That was so good. but yeah, I think that's a wrap, man. This is a pretty long one.
Yeah, this was good. This was good.
We had a lot to cover. And
absolutely.
You know, JJ and I get super jazzed up for Penn State.
Most wonderful time of the year, man.
I agree 100%. Well, JJ, thanks for joining us, man. I'm glad you were able to come on. Absolutely. So as we always say, you can hit us up on Twitter at the GD Podcast or shoot us an email at the GD Podcast at gmail.com. For JJ Kowal and Mike Grant, I'm Joe Dighton. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next time.